Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Dear fathers, ready to your faith. Today, Holy Thursday, is a feast day for two reasons. It is the day our Lord instituted the sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrifice of the New Testament, and it is the day that our Lord instituted the priesthood for that sacrifice. These three holy days, the Holy Triduum, are the days we spend closest to our Lord as we spend at the deathbed of a loved one. His every moment, his every word is dear to us because he loved us enough to save us from an eternity of hell. In this homily, let us examine this new priesthood established by our Lord. Have you ever wondered why are we called priests in the line of Melchizedek? Why are we not priests in the line of Aaron, whose priesthood was the one of the Old Testament? The answer is given to us by St. Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews. The apostle to the Gentiles tells us simply that the Levitical priesthood did not represent the perfection of the priesthood, because if it did, our Lord would not have instituted a new one. Indeed, there were many inadequacies in the Levitical priesthood. Firstly, the priesthood of Aaron was carnal, temporal, successive, and perishing, while that of Melchizedek was a symbol of that of Christ, eternal. In a liturgical sense, the Levitical priests were personally unclean. They had to offer sacrifices for their sins. And with their death, their priesthood came to an end. However, St. Paul tells us that the priesthood of Melchizedek is eternal, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but likened unto the Son of God, continues a priest forever. We read in the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 3. Later on, in the same chapter, he says, Jesus continues forever and has an everlasting priesthood. Secondly, just as our Lord confined in himself both priesthood and kingship, so did Melchizedek. In the book of Genesis, chapter 14, we read, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, bringing forth bread and wine, for he was the priest of the Most High God. St. Paul points out that in him, justice and peace would kiss, as mentioned in Psalm 84. Melchizedek was a king of Salem, which means peace. Was also given tithes by Abraham after his victory over the four kings, thus making him also a king of justice, since he was also a priest of the Most High God. Our Lord himself would not have peace without justice. As St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Colossians, he made peace with them through his blood shed on the cross. By his sacrifice, he paid the just price of our sins, so that there would be peace between us and God. Thirdly, Abraham paid him a tribute owed to God, from whom he received the victory over the four kings. And in doing this, Abraham acknowledged that Melchizedek was greater than he was. St. Paul points this out as well. Melchizedek was a figure of our Lord. Now consider how great this man is, to whom also Abraham the patriarch gave tithes out of the principal things. Again in Hebrews chapter 7. The priests of Levi are those of the same stock as Abraham, and they receive tithes from the people. Melchizedek must be greater than him in order to receive tithes from Abraham, despite not being of the same stock, and moreover, giving him a blessing in return. Fourthly, the priesthood of Melchizedek was sacramental and unbounded. A sacrifice of bread and wine, a symbol of the sacrifice of the Mass, is read in Genesis, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, bringing forth bread and wine, for he was the priest of the Most High God. At every mass, we mention the sacrifice of Melchizedek, offered after Abraham's victory, as something sacrificial, immaculate and costly, a holy sacrifice and unspotted victim. Fifthly, our Lord was of an ancestry distinct from that of the Levitical priesthood. He belonged to the tribe of Judah, not of Levi, as the priest descended from Aaron. St. Paul makes clear that this was to signify the eternal origin of our Lord and his priesthood. For it is evident that our Lord sprung out of Judah, in which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And it is yet far more evident if, according to the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not according to the law of a carnal commandment, but according to the power of an indissoluble life. For he testifies, "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Once again, from Hebrews chapter 7. In the historical setting of Genesis, we also find the promise made to Abraham by God that is fulfilled in the priesthood of the New Testament. When Abraham had won the victory over the four kings who had attacked his nephew Lot, Melchizedek was at hand to offer the sacrifice of bread and wine and grant him the blessing and protection of the Most High God. Abraham, who sought to be loyal to God and to do his holy will, did not keep any of the spoils of war. So it is with the priests of the New Testament, established on this day by Jesus Christ. The heavenly high priest blesses those who do not seek the material spoils of the earth. God promised to establish a new priesthood when the Levitical priesthood was found to be inadequate in the days of Eli and his sons, as we read in the first book of Kings. St. Paul explains that this fulfillment is found in Christ, whose priests are the priests of the New Testament. So Christ also did not glorify himself, that he might be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, "Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee." As he said also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Once again, from the Epistle to the Hebrews, but this time from chapter 5. Moreover, in the Old Testament, we read that in the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem, there are two items of particular significance that are a symbol of the Eucharistic presence of our Lord: the lampstand and the bread of presence. St. John the Apostle and Evangelist applies them to Jesus Christ as the light of the world and the bread of life. The bread of presence of the Old Testament was to show the presence of the people before God. The bread of the New Testament is the presence of God before his people. There were 12 loaves, representing the 12 tribes that were renewed every Saturday in the sanctuary of the temple. All the people were represented before God. The 12 tribes were made one in his presence. Now in the New Testament, his church, even though we are many, are by one bread made one body, when we all partake of that one bread, as we read from St. Paul in the first epistle to the Corinthians. The sanctuary lamp of old announced the presence of the people before God, as the sanctuary lamp of the New Testament announces God's presence to us. We are faithful in all of the Old Testament. God spoke of his coming to save us from our sins. This night, the beginning of the New Testament, he instituted the sacrifice of bread and wine, transformed into his own body and blood, given as food to us, as a means to give us grace, save us from our sins, and bring us to eternal life. When it came over, the priesthood ended with the death of the priest. Our Lord instituted a new priesthood, which is a participation in his own eternal priesthood, uniting it with his kingship. Let us pray every day to Our Lady, the Mother of Christ, for all of them, so that they may always remain loyal to God and do his holy will. In supreme nocte, cibum turbe duo de, sedat suis manus. On the night of the Last Supper, as food to his apostles, he gives himself with his own hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.